for today will be 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31. 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in Christ.
Good morning, church. It is great to see you all. Great to have all of you who are joining us electronically and those who are joining us in person. Very glad to see you. And I'm with Lee. I've always thought that this auditorium had a very kind of a simple elegance to it. And I've always appreciated the simple elegance. And then I walked in this morning and I thought, where's Jerusalem? We're missing something here. I think we might want to put that back up and leave it for a while. I loved it. Speaking of the VBS decorations and all the things that have gone on this past week, that's just one more reason to love this congregation. There's so many things about this congregation I absolutely love. And I found a brand new one this past week. This is the first VBS that Jan and I have had here with Glenpool. We came with the shutdown. And so the only thing we've known about Glenpool's VBS is that far hallway that still has, I think, decorations from 3 years ago. So there's a precedent set for leaving decorations up here. But one of the things I absolutely love about it was, you know, I mention almost every time I come up here that we're not customers, that's not what Christianity is about, that we're called to be disciples. And this congregation embraces discipleship, belonging, learning, and serving. And man, did you guys show that with VBS. Not only the ones that were up front and so many of the families that put so much time and effort into actually being up front and carrying it off every night, but so many of you, I mean, found things to do at home, from cutting out the silhouettes that were here to preparation work and being up here during the day and preparing. It was just all hands on deck. It was a beautiful, beautiful example of discipleship, of belonging, and learning and serving. And so just one more wonderful reason to love this congregation. So glad you're here and glad to be a part of this body of believers and this worship assembly this morning. In just a minute, we're going to read from the latter half of James chapter 3. So if you want to open your Bibles to that, you'll be with us when we get ready to go. It will be on the screen, but we'd love to have you, if you want to open your Bibles, to do that, to join with us. Latter half of James chapter 13. And in this passage, James is helping us understand that not all wisdom is wise. There's different types of wisdom, and James identifies two different kinds of wisdom for us. There's wisdom that comes from Satan, and there's that wisdom that comes from God. And what's interesting is James lets us know that these two forms of wisdom coexist together in the world. And so the challenge that he's laying before his readers is for them to choose wisely the wisdom they're going to follow. And so he comes up in verse 13, James chapter 3, verse 13, and basically kind of asks for a show of hands, and we won't do that this morning, but a show of hands, who thinks you're wise? James chapter 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? It's almost as he's saying, if you think you are, raise your hand or stand up or indicate that somehow. And then he goes on to say, let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Let him show it. If you think you're wise, show it. And as I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about something that you and I, up until 2 years ago, had never done. I'm going to suggest to you that up until 2 years ago, you and I never had taken a COVID test before. I've taken lots of tests, But I've never had taken a COVID test before a couple of years ago. And so the COVID test, if you think you've got COVID, if you have some symptoms, if you're not feeling well, then now, bless their hearts, doctors and caregivers are kind of, if you stub your toe, would you take a COVID test to make sure that you're okay? And I understand the patience and the care that we're taking for that. But the question is, if you think you've got something, let's take a test for that. And let's see if you test positive for that. That's kind of what James is doing here in the latter half of James chapter 3. If you think you've got wisdom, there's a test for that. Let's take a test for that. And so let's you and me take this test this morning to see what kind of wisdom we have and if we actually have the true wisdom that's wise and comes from God. Number one, Satan's wisdom. Satan's wisdom causes chaos. We're going to read begin in verse 14, James 3, beginning in verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. We'll stop there. So we're talking about Satan's wisdom here, the wisdom that comes down from the devil. And if you notice, verse 14, Satan's wisdom operates on the wrong motives. It dangles the wrong carrot in front of those who seek to follow it. Bitter envy, jealousy, means wanting to possess something that doesn't really belong to you. There could be many examples of this. If you look at the first part of James chapter 3, he talks about some of you shouldn't presume to be teachers. And then he goes on to talk about taming the tongue. So it's possible that part of the problem that James is addressing in this letter is the desire that some people have to have what they see as a leadership position in the church, teachers, but they don't control their tongue. They don't manage their speech in a godly fashion. Now, there could be any number of other factors that are going on here, but just paying attention to context, it just seems like there's some people who, you remember in the Old Testament, the Pharisees and the scribes, they liked the good seats and to be greeted in the marketplace. And so they loved the prestige that came with being what they saw in the leadership position. So maybe there's some folks that James is writing to who wanted that prestige, but they didn't have the self-discipline that James felt like and the scripture feels like they needed to have. And so here's the wrong motives: bitter envy. Some translations say jealousy. And that the problem is that selfish ambition, that wanting what doesn't belong to you, that selfish ambition seeks to get ahead at other people's expense. Some translations say strife. So here's the picture, wrong motives. The word picture is of someone who's willing to do whatever it takes to get ahead. Whatever it takes to step above someone else, to take that next level of authority, that next level of pride, that next level of shining in front of people, they're willing to do whatever it takes, and it causes division and bitterness in the church. So Satan's wisdom operates from the wrong motives. It also shows contempt for the Lord. Notice in verse 15 this increasingly ungodly description of the kind of wisdom that comes from Satan. It says, first of all, that it's earthly. This is the kind of wisdom that fails to take God's divine wisdom, heavenly wisdom, into effect. If you know someone who every thought process, every decision calculus they make has to do with how's it going to serve me? What does this mean for me? How does this impact me? How can I get the best out of this? That's the idea of earthly wisdom. It doesn't take God into account, nor God's will. It is unspiritual, verse 15. Some translations say sensual. In other words, it celebrates Satan's wisdom, and it ignores God's wisdom. It's the attitude of God's enemies, and it is of the devil. Some translations say demonic or devilish. Satan's wisdom honors Satan. It does not honor God. Not only that, it sows the seeds of discord within the church, verse 16. There's the presence of envy and selfish ambition. Some translations say jealousy and strife. And when you see jealousy and strife, that's proof that godly wisdom is not being employed. Very much like Jim's class this morning out of Romans chapter 14. When you see these things coming, you understand that that's not God's wisdom that's being used here. So the presence of envy and selfish ambition proves the absence of godly wisdom. And the absence of godly wisdom leads to disorder or confusion and every evil or vile practice. So we've met, back in chapter 1, we met the double-minded person, the one that's tossed back and forth by every wave. We've met the double-minded person, and we're told in chapter 1 they shouldn't expect anything from God. Earlier in chapter 3, we met the double-tongued person, the one that speaks out of both sides of their mouth, the one who honors God with their lips and then curses God's people, and this ought not be chapter 3, and so they're full of deadly poison. And now we come across in chapter 3, the latter part, the double-crossing person who brings disorder and evil into the assembly of the believers. Well, now, that's a wonderful, quick review of who James writing to in the first century. What does that mean for you and me? What does that mean for the Glenpool Church of Christ in July of 2022? Coming off this wonderful high of VBS and how great it was. And Devin, you're right. The numbers climbed every week. We had more kids every week. It was just a fantastic time. What do we do with this? You know, it's kind of hard to understand that the water's murky when that's just the water you swim in, right? Parts of our society, our world today, have institutionalized Satan's wisdom. They not only practice it, not only embrace it, but have made it institutional. It's a part of who they are. And see if any of these phrases ring true to you or ring familiar to you anyway. It's a dog-eat-dog world where you've got to eat or be eaten. It's survival of the fittest. It is the no holds barred, take no prisoners, winner take all kind of world. And if, because it's that way, you got to go out there and carve out a piece for yourself to get what you deserve. Doesn't that sound like you've heard in the world today? That's Satan's wisdom institutionalized. And the problem is we can never be the church if we practice Satan's wisdom. Enough of that. Let's move on. We've talked about Satan's wisdom. Let's talk about God's wisdom. God's wisdom promotes peace. Notice the contrast. Let's go back to our text, James chapter 3. Let's pick up in verse 17. But the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So let's look at godly wisdom. And if we're taking the test like the COVID test, one of the ways we can tell if it's godly wisdom is by the harvest that it produces. So look at the language that's here in verse 17. Wisdom from above produces a life that's pure. Pure is what's used to describe God in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Purity is what's used to describe God's word in Psalm 12, verse 6. And so we have a life that's pure, which, by the way, is the opposite of the one who's double-minded, double-tongued, double-crossing. It uses Satan's wisdom. Wisdom that's from above produces a life that's peace-loving. Some translations say peaceable. This is a needed quality in a church where we're all living in the flesh, where we're all inclined, if we're not careful and led by the Spirit, to be self-centered and self-focused. And James is going to, in the very next chapter, and Lord willing, we'll talk about that next week, in the very next chapter, he's going to talk about some of the quarreling and fighting that are among his original readers. So while we're in a broken and fallen world, we need to be the people who are peace-loving, who are peaceable. Wisdom from above produces a life that's considerate. Some translations say gentle. Now, there are type A personalities. There's the laid-back surfer dude. I mean, there's all different kinds of types of people, and God's kingdom is big enough for every single one of them. But the picture here of being considerate, of being gentle, is somebody who's willing to be flexible, I don't have to have it my way. It doesn't have to be the way I like it. I like the old hymns, and you like the praise songs. I like the preacher to get up there and 3 points and a conclusion. I like 3 songs and an invitation. I don't have to have the things the way I like them. It's nice every once in a while, but I don't have to have it that way. I'm not going to be legalistic. Jim's class earlier this morning. Considerate, gentle, which is the opposite of someone who's motivated by bitter jealousy. Wisdom that's from above produces a life that's submissive, reasonable. A reasonable mind is one that's still teachable. A teachable spirit. It strikes me in the secular world. It's probably true in churches as well. But I learned this lesson in the secular world. The minute an employee thinks they've got nothing left to learn, the minute they think they know all there is to know, they become less and less useful. I think God wants you and me as Christians to have a teachable spirit as long as we're on this earth. You may have heard that sermon a million times. You may have studied that book 100 times. You may know the material better than the one teaching the material, but the call for us to be is teachable, a teachable spirit. And that's what I think it means by submissive or reasonable. That's part of what it means anyway. A mind is open to reason and compromise, especially where there's no salvation issues at stake, certainly there. The opposite of the one who's unspiritual, by the way. Full of mercy and good fruits. That's another life that's produced, a characteristic of life that's produced by godly wisdom. And James already, in chapter 2, defined mercy for us. In James chapter 2, he says mercy triumphs over judgment. So mercy here is love for a neighbor that shows itself in good deeds. Wisdom from above produces a life that's impartial, unwavering. Someone who refuses to discriminate. James has already talked about that a little bit. Someone who refuses to discriminate. I'm not going to treat anybody different because of their ethnicity, because of the color of their skin, because of their social standing, because of the thickness of their wallet. We're not going to treat anybody different. We refuse to be prejudiced. We refuse to show speciality. We're going to treat everyone as loving and caring. We're impartial, which is the opposite of someone who's motivated by selfish ambitions. And finally, we have wisdom from above that produces a life that's sincere. Some of your translations say without hypocrisy. Don't you love it when you come across somebody, when you meet them and you talk with them and you get to know them, what you see is what you get? Don't you love that? I don't have to wonder if what that person is saying, if they really mean that. Whether it's a criticism or a compliment, whether it's an observation. I don't have to wonder what they're really thinking, what their end game, what they're really moving toward. Here I am, unadorned, unpolished. Whether you like it or not, here I am. Well, that's the picture of one who is sincere, someone who's without hypocrisy. They're transparent. What you see is what you get, the opposite of one who practices evil. So if you notice, a lot of these are the opposites of the satanic wisdom that he talked about earlier. So Satan's wisdom is identified by sowing the seeds of discord. God's wisdom is identified by the harvest of righteousness that it produces. And this is kind of the pinnacle. This is the peak. This is the top of the mountain for what he's talking about in godly wisdom here. Satan's wisdom cannot produce a harvest of righteousness. It produces discord. It produces chaos. Godly wisdom produces peace. And it's only the peacemakers, those who subscribe to God's wisdom, who sow peace, who conduct their lives according to God's wisdom, who can raise a harvest of righteousness. Righteousness is simply being right in God's eyes. In church, I don't think I can overstate this. It doesn't matter one whit who else thinks you're right if you're not right in God's eyes. It's better to be right in God's eyes and everybody else to look at you like you're a fool, to think you're crazy, to think you're living outside the norm, to think you're not wise. It's better for the whole world to look at you and think you're nuts and for God to go, no, this one's right with me, righteous. Nothing's more important than that. And that's the life that's produced, the harvest that's produced from living according to God's wisdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. It's what Jesus says in Matthew 5. So here's, let's bring it home. We were talking about the golden rule earlier. You know, whoever has all the gold makes all the rules. That's Satan's wisdom. That's a secular idea. That's certainly not from God. God's rule is do unto others as you have them do unto you. That's true wisdom. That's what comes from God. And our society may embrace the wisdom that comes from Satan. There may be parts of our society that is institutionalized into who they are and what they are, Satan's wisdom, but it does not mean you and I have to embrace it. And here's the challenge. That's the pool we're swimming in. That, you know, you take a beautiful aquarium with some gorgeous saltwater fish in it. If the water's dirty, they're swimming in the dirty water, whether they know it or not. That's the only life they have. Well, we're swimming in some dirty water. We're living in a secular world where Satan's wisdom is embraced and institutionalized, and it's very difficult, if that's what you're hit with every single day, if that's the water you're breathing, not to become that. You ever walked in the house and smelled somebody, you walk in the house or you walk in the office or you walk and you instantly know somebody's had popcorn. Two problems. One, they had popcorn that didn't invite me. And number two, I can still smell it. But if you notice after you've been there a little while, you don't smell the popcorn anymore. That's what happens when we swim in the world. That's what happens, living in the secular world. If we're not careful, we don't notice it. And that's why we have this COVID test. That's why we have this wisdom test. Test where you're coming from. Test the wisdom that you're embracing. We may live in a world that embraces Satan's wisdom, but we don't have to. We just have to know the difference. We have to know the difference and what the difference looks like in action and what the difference produces. And that's what James is giving us here. Godly wisdom is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. And I took this from the passage that Peyton read for us earlier. And Peyton, thank you. I gave him an exceedingly long passage. You know, the preacher gets the short passage, and the poor guy who reads Scripture gets the long passage. Thank you for that, brother. Did a great job. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, "It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." It's Christ Jesus who is wisdom from God. You want to know what kind of wisdom you're practicing? Does it follow what Jesus did? He has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. So yeah, back December year and a half ago, I guess it was now, Jen and I shared COVID with Jen because I don't want to have something that she doesn't get. I mean, you know, I want her to share popcorn with me when she eats popcorn. I want to share with her what I have. And so I got COVID and then shared it with her. And back in those days, you went to the, remember the drive-through testing? Yeah, it's cold, it's December, you feel rotten. And so get in your car and drive across town to go be tested. That sounds like fun, let's do that. And then they take that broom handle and stick it in your nose and all the way back out the back of your head. And then they call you later on. And I'll never forget the call. It was like, yeah, you tested positive, have a good day. Yeah, thank you. Nothing like, well, you get plenty of rest, drink fluids. You know, I'm sorry for sorry for that. You know, enjoy your solitary confinement for 2 weeks. And now you go take a little test at home, and it's not quite that difficult in 15 minutes to get the results. James has just given us a test, a way to test what kind of wisdom we're walking by, what kind of life we're living. And if we want to be right with God, we've got to practice godly wisdom. And to the world, it looks foolish. It doesn't seem strong. It doesn't seem wise. That's not how you get ahead. But it's far better to not get ahead in a material sense, in a material world, and be right with God than to have all the pleasures of the world and miss eternity in heaven. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. That's our invitation to you. If there's any way that we can serve you, won't you tell us how? Maybe you've been walking by the world's wisdom, and you want some practice walking by godly wisdom. We'd love to practice that with you and come along and walk beside you. Maybe you're ready to give your life to Christ, and we'd like to celebrate that with the angels. Maybe you just want to spend some time in God's Word and see what He says about your life and His plans for you as an individual. Maybe you're ready to come back to God. Maybe there's something else on your heart that we haven't even talked about this morning. If you're at home, reach out to us. If you're here, when we stand and sing, that's our official invitation to you. Please, if we can serve you, it's our honor to do so. Let's stand. Let's sing.